Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me as we pick up where we left off in these conversations with Bishop Bob McClory. We had some conversations throughout this last week on Ephesians, continuing the conversations from the Good News Cruise. So for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we were talking to the bishop about his own relationship to scripture, about our relationship to scripture as a community. And then we just began to get into the second half of Ephesians chapter one. There's so many rich things that if you've been listening, we've been working through. We started with a few guests over the last number of months on the Good News Cruise, and we've been working through the book of Ephesians. And like many of you know who've listened to the show, we've made a roadmap already together so much in the book of Ephesians. And I love what the Lord was speaking to us. As you listen back to the episodes from the last couple of days, that the Lord has been speaking to us all the way from that episode back in February, the Lord is speaking to us today. And what we want to continue to do, as we've done in the past, is pick up on these passages and see not only what the Lord was speaking to us then, but what he's speaking to us now. That the Lord, even though we read those passages a number of months ago, that to read them again today and said, how is the Lord making these connections? How is he linking things together? And the Spirit always confirms what the Spirit had to say. And the Spirit is always speaking something new. That's why we can read the same passages over and over and over again and be inspired and be challenged and be comforted, because the Holy Spirit speaks directly into our hearts. And I want to encourage you, if you didn't have a chance to listen to this week, to go back and listen to the interviews this week that we did with Bishop McClory, because I think it was just so special to be able to have not only a priest, but a bishop with us to discuss the role of the Word of God, both in our personal lives for reflection and for chewing on God's Word and our personal prayer, and also for kind of the communal consumption of God's Word within the context of the Mass, within the context of small groups. And it was just great to hear him speak from the heart of the church on the role of the Word of God, because it's not just like, oh, this is for my own personal benefit, or that I just pray with Scripture and then the Mass is the real thing, but to say, how is the Scripture in the Mass? How is the Lord speaking to us through the Scripture, both individually and as a body? And so I want to encourage you to go listen to those conversations, because the bishop was speaking with so much authority and sharing so many great stories from his own life, which I found super convicting. And so as we got into the word together, we were going through the end of chapter 1:15 through 23. And this is a beautiful section of scripture that we've been in before. But again, the Lord wants to pick up where we left off, or even speak into some points that we were discussing with Bishop McClory. And so I want to invite you to join me again in this piece of scripture. Last year, I was able to go to Brazil, and I told a lot of stories about it here on this podcast, but I was able to go preach in Brazil. And this was a passage that they had asked me to preach on, and the Lord was really convicting me about it. And I started there really chewing on that this passage, and I've kind of been chewing on it since last February, since over a year ago, been chewing on it ever since, of the Lord speaking here and saying something really important, and the Lord has been unfolding that in my life for over a year. It's such a beautiful passage. So let's go ahead and pray, and then let's read God's word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you this week already for these conversations with Bishop McClory. I just thank you that you just allow us to speak with people who are so wise, that you allow us to hear from people giving us their perspective that they're receiving from you, so that our eyes and our ears can be opened in a deeper way to your word and not just how we see it or how we think about it. And I ask, Lord, that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds today as we read your word and as we go into your word, that you would speak to us, that you would speak to us in a new way, particularly in this passage, in a way that you haven't spoken to us before, and that you would show us exactly what you want us to see and exactly what you want us to hear. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. So starting at 1:15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amazing. This is such a rich set of about eight verses. It's such an amazing passage. And something that stuck out to me immediately was in that first sentence. It was this: for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. This is something that's so inspiring to me and so convicting. Of saying, for this reason, because what is the reason that he's going to give? Because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And I think this is really convicting for our personal lives and for our communities to say, Paul is writing, he's far away, and he's saying, even here in prison, I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. That there's this way that because of their faith, their reputation precedes them. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And it's not to say that the Ephesians are saying, oh, we're so amazing, like, look how faithful we are. But their faith in the Lord was bearing fruit, and was bearing enough fruit that Paul begins to hear about it. That Paul begins to hear about, man, the faith of the Ephesians. Not like, oh, they're so great or they're doing so well, but he's hearing a word about their faith. And I think a lot of times in our communities as believers, our reputation precedes us, but almost like in a negative way. Like, how often is a positive reputation about how much faith we have in Christ? Are people leaving our churches? Are people leaving our communities? Are people hearing about our communities and being like, oh, I've heard about the faith there. I've heard about the faith that these people had. I've heard about the faith in this family. I've heard about that faith. Not so our fame and our renown can grow, but so his fame and renown can grow. And so he's saying, for this reason, he's going to give thanks. He says, for this reason, I give thanks because I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And so Paul's saying, I've heard two things about you. Two things about you have made its way to me. One, about your faith in the Lord. I've heard about your faith. I don't know about you, but I want people to say of me, not for my own benefit, but what I want people to hear about me is not like, oh, she's easily offended or she's short-tempered or all of these different things. But I want them to hear about my faith. Not even about my personality, not about my achievements or my accomplishments, but my faith in Christ Jesus. And then the second thing is tied to that, because the fruit of faith is living a life that's given away to others. And the deeper that our faith is, we can't have a real, true, genuine faith without that bearing fruit in love for others. It's the evidence. It says, you know, works are the evidence of faith. Faith without works is dead. It's not saying that we're earning because of our faith, but works are the evidence of faith. And it's not just random works. It's love of God and love of neighbor. And so it's this amazing thing of Paul saying, hey, I've heard that you love God and you love your neighbor. That's amazing to say, I've heard that you're keeping the greatest commandment of all. I've heard that you're putting God first, and I've heard that you're loving your neighbor. That because, friends, of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it pushes us out to love our neighbor. And this is a good reflection and prayer to ask the Lord, Lord, what would we be known for? You know, if people were to come and experience us for a day, not like what we'd be famous for, but if somebody left like our place of work or our dinner time with our family or something like that, this is not to say an expectation to be perfect, but think of how you regularly act, think of things that you regularly do and your regular attitude, you know, and how you carry yourself. For me, I'm thinking how I carry myself, how I show up to work, how I deal with people who are difficult for me, what my emotional life is like, how am I consistently showing up in the world? And if people came, and if they traveled with me on the road, or they came to my work for a day, would they leave? And would they go tell other people about my faith and about my love towards all the saints? And I love that, particularly all the saints. Like, if I was with like my best friend, or if I was with my sister and my nieces and nephews, people might be like, oh, she has such amazing love. What about if I'm with a person that really is hard for me? What about for me? It's not even people that I don't like. It's people who don't like me, you know, and how am I treating that person? So it's this interesting thing he's saying. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. All the saints. Not just the ones that we prefer, not just the ones that are easy for us to love, but really a test is saying how are if people, this is really convincing to me right now, if people are around me when I'm around somebody that I don't like or that bothers me in my work or my family or something, would they be able to tell that that's a person that's hard for me to love? And for me, the answer is yes, they would. And so this is a place where I need more purification, because I want people to hear of me about my love for God and my love for others. And he's saying, it's like you can just hear Paul. He's praying from the prison and he's like effusive with the Lord. He's like, oh, like I was with you. I was with you and now I'm in prison and I'm so happy because I'm hearing about your faith in Christ and how loving you are towards everybody. And therefore, I don't cease. I'm always giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And this is something too, friends, that I've learned, that as I give thanks for people to the Lord, whether it's people I'm leading, people I love so much, people that's hard for me to love, as I give thanks for people, my delight in them grows. And this is something I'm learning from Paul. He's always giving thanks for those he's leading. And to go before the Lord, and it's like this, you can just hear him. He's like effusive. He's like, oh, I'm so proud of you guys. You're living out that faith that was given to you. And you have so much love toward all the saints. And I'm just thanking God. Lord, thank you. Because do you think it's possible to go before the Lord and consistently from your heart say, Lord, thank you for this person, and then not delight in them? And then stay mad at them, stay frustrated with them. No, it's taking on God's posture. Thank you, Lord, for these people that you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for these people that you've given me. Oh, you're doing so well in the faith. Your faith is growing. You're loving each other. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these people. Oh, you fell and you're having a hard time. Thank you, Lord, for these people. And Paul is showing us his leadership, and he's also showing us the strength of the way he modeled the faith for them, that while he's away in prison, they're still living a model of faith that he's hearing about from far away. And so to take today, go in your prayer, friends, and say, Lord, reveal to me, show me what I would be known for. Show me that when people encounter me, what do they walk away from those encounters experiencing? Would they say that I have great faith? Would people hear of my faith, or would they hear of my complaining or my frustration or my tiredness or my laziness, whatever it is? What would they hear? Would they hear that I have great faith in the Lord Jesus? And would they hear that I'm loving toward all the saints? Or would they say, I'm loving to my friends, I'm loving to those people who love me? And Lord, give us the grace to be known for love of God and love of neighbor. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.